Hi, friends. I hope your summer is going great. Thanks for spending some of your precious time with us to learn what's happening around the world right now and in God's kingdom. We recently put out a specific summer challenge to our Compassion Radio partners like you, and we are making progress. We still have $100,000 to go before September 1 to make sure that we can continue as a daily radio journal of God's triumphs that you rely on. So we're relying on you and God's power at work through you. Together, we'll keep bringing powerful stories of genuine life change and great commission work. We'll continue to offer our listeners opportunities to do the gospel through amazing ministry partnerships. If you haven't already, please take up this challenge today and join us in this one-of-a-kind media mission. Frank will tell you how later in the broadcast. And now, to today's story.
Today on Compassion Radio.
That is spiritual warfare, yeah. The people then became Christian. They have bad dreams or attacked from...
Nightmares.
And spiritual attack from evil spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they need really to be free because a lot of people, they are involved with occult.
Mm-hmm,
occult.
Mm-hmm.
When they became a Christian, the darkness attacks them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The darkness wants to hold on to them.
And once again, welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram talks with Wolfgang and Jonette Hades, a couple who for the last 25 years has been ministering to Muslims in Turkey. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the second half of that conversation.
So what do you do as a body to encourage those who are under spiritual attack? You're talking about not just nightmares, but demonic oppression of sorts. So how do you counter that? What practical things do you do as a church to come up against those forces and to claim those souls and encourage them?
Yeah, usually that would be to pray for them and to pray with them together. But of course, also to encourage them to throw away things, you know, amulet. You know,
mm-hmm.
Say, yeah, amulet that they have, and so
to purge all of
those
other things that are keeping them from completely surrendering to Christ. Then,
yes, and to repent. Yes, to repent and call Jesus to be free from everything in the past what they did. Yeah,
to find Jesus as deliverer.
Yes. I think sometimes it's difficult even for Western Christians to really take seriously the scripture that says, put away those things that hinder your walk with Christ, you know, and we hold on to things so often that, this is harmless. This is just a habit or whatever. But I think sometimes those habits or those things that we call harmless kind of tie us to this world in ways that God does not want us to be tied to the world, to let go and release those things.
I am very radical against this.
I'm personally far from talking about spirits and all things or, you know, to blame bad spirits for everything. But I'm convinced that even, as I said, in our Western societies, there are other forms, other disguises of spiritual powers.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey is even more obvious.
It seems like every culture has some sticking points when you come to preaching the gospel. Some cultures can't cope with the sacrifice of Jesus, God becoming man and being sacrificed. Others can't deal with him conquering death, or some other point along the way becomes a place of contention where it's difficult people to cross over and say, yes, I want Jesus as Lord of my life. What is the place for Turkish believers that is the most difficult for them to get across in their hearts and minds?
Good question. One thing is, I think, to really understand how deep sin is, because in Islam, sin is serious, but it's more like you do something bad, then you have to do something good instead of it and ask for forgiveness, then it's okay. But Turks have a hard time, first of all, to understand the need for Jesus to die for sins. And because there is a lack of real deep forgiveness in the religious system, in daily life, it's also very difficult to forgive each other or to ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And that can be a big driver to keep people out of the church if they get offended again.
Right. When you ask for forgiveness, you give the other one power above you. So he can trample on you or so, you know, because he's a stronger one. You admitted that you are guilty. But in Christian worldview, it makes you even stronger when you openly admit, yes, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus and I ask you for forgiveness. And even non-Christians somehow admire somebody who can say, yes, I did a mistake, please forgive me. But in Turkish society, that's different.
Mm.
But of course, Turks are the same people who have the same deep desire to be really forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing. Do you know any other point that's very difficult for new believers?
Yeah, it is to apologize. It is very,
to apologize.
Yeah,
to,
it is very difficult. Ask. But what touched them? God is love. God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it is very unbelievable. Because in Quran, there is no verse, God loves you.
God loves those who obey him or so. Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there is love, but not God loves you first and then that's missing.
He only cares for you if you do something for him.
God is mercy to you, but God loves you. There is no verse like this. That's why when I told them God loves you,
unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when they understand Jesus, it's God's love to you, then they were touched from God's love, really.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the women, when they see they are equal with men in God's eye.
Yeah.
It is very important for them, because they didn't...
Do they really take it to heart? Do they believe it when you
yes,
say that?
Yes, yes. Because they don't know about this. They know God is merciful, okay, God loves me, but not special.
Yeah,
God, but I have to do something good.
Oh, right. So
to be loved.
To be loved,
you have to earn it.
And as woman, I have to please my husband, beloved for God. So like this. But when I make women conferences every 6 months, I am speaking about this topic. And they are really touched from God's love. I told them, you are geschaffen.
Created.
You are created in God's
image.
There is a new thing to hear. They are created in God's image, and they are equal in God's eyes. They feel, oh, I am human. I am special.
I am important.
Important. Yeah. Some women crying and
Yeah,
it is very important to know they are.
Any time when husbands discover that when you smile on your wife, that's God smiling on your wife. And when women realize that when your husband smiles on you, God is smiling on you. And the same goes the other direction. When they discover the power of being God's love for each other, it opens up all kinds of possibilities.
Well, when you come from a society that devalues women so distinctly, and they already feel that they have no purpose other than being a wife and a mother, and they have no value. When you come to them and say to them, you are loved by God, and he loved you so much that his son came to die for you, that's got to be mind-blowing for them. So shocking and brilliantly beautiful for them to realize that. Like you said, in tears, for the first time realizing that they are precious and valued.
I'm convinced, too, that people that know they're loved teach people how to love.
Yes.
And I imagine that when it transforms women, especially in your culture, that they can teach their sons how to love and to not be oppressors.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. and we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Our hearts will burn for the lost. If we really love Him and seek His return, our hearts will burn for the lost. How can we speak of His coming when so many still do not know?
Back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And I think about all the places in the world where people come to Christ but never get past saying, I have no power, I have no right to raise my children to be like Christ because my culture doesn't allow it. Yeah. And God wants to liberate them to teach the children how to love others the way He loves.
But it's very difficult even when they become Christians. We were sometimes talking, you know, the wrong image for young men is sometimes given by their mothers, you know, but that's a different topic.
But they are learning.
As we do, they have to learn slowly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's fitting to your topic, but there are some things I learn in Turkish society. I think from my Christian experience as a German, I learned from it.
Mm. Please tell.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm in Germany, I try to talk about this. One thing, the fear of God is something I can talk with Turks easily, but in Germany it's almost impossible for some people.
They're not afraid of anything.
Yeah, to take God seriously. God is not like I want to make Him, but God is like He is. Then another thing is respect. In Turkey, respect for elder people, respect for leaders in the church. And so that there is a certain degree of respect that goes too far, but there's something good in it. Just one example, respect to God. When, you know, we had an English pastor coming in our church and he was a very devoted Christian, but he was praying, putting his hands in his pockets or putting the Bible on the ground and so on.
I learned how to be careful when I was in China, just talking casually. It's one thing to be presenting at a podium and preaching, but when you're just having a conversation, it just seemed kind of natural to have one hand in your pocket while you're talking to somebody. Yeah. But realizing that because you stepped in front and you're now facing them, the face has to be the thing.
Yes.
And if your face is not locked on theirs and your body is not respecting that, then they could take offense. Yes. And rightfully in their culture, they would do that. So being careful not to do something as simple as, you say, putting your hand in your pocket.
I come from Germany, and for a while we were focusing very much on saying the inner side is important and how you express it is not so important. Mm. And of course, in Turkey, sometimes it's the other way around, that you do what you are supposed to do, but the inner being is not changed. But now I think both belongs together.
And both can be changed.
Yeah. And if there's really something changing in your heart, that will also change how you behave and how you pray. And
I'd like to spend a couple of minutes, if you don't mind, to ask about how persecution has come close to your family. And tell the story, if you don't mind, Jeanette, about your sister and your brother-in-law. Because your family has paid the price for following Christ. What happened to your family?
My sister and her husband, they went to Malatya, east of Turkey, in this area. They were prepared to go in the prison. My sister said, I was not prepared to be killed. When she called me and said the news, we was in other city, in Izmit, a church. And she told me, my husband gone to the Lord. Mm. But she was very, very peaceful. You know, and I was really shocked, but she was very peaceful on the phone. She tried to comfort me and said, please be calm. We are in God's hand. It was not expected, you know.
Who ended up attacking your brother-in-law?
Five young people. They are prepared from other people behind.
Somebody else instigated
the
attack.
They were sent. Okay.
And they came and...
They pretended to be seekers who wanted to study the Bible with them.
Yeah.
I think two of them came before, and then that day they brought three more friends and met in the office. Jeanette's brother-in-law was working and two other brothers.
Yeah, one week before. Before they came, and my brother-in-law, he was in Germany, a conference. They asked after him because he was not there. They went, waited of him after he came 1 week.
So when he came back from the conference, they went back to see him.
Yeah. It was planned, everything.
Did they choose to beat him or do something else?
They bound them.
Yes.
And they were stabbing them with a knife and then finally cutting their throat.
Wow. But with other two brothers,
yeah, there
one
were
German.
Two Turks and one German.
Yeah.
Christian.
Yes.
They were killed at the same time. Then those murderers, they were arrested because another Christian came to the door and then he called the police. And they told the police that, in fact, they had wanted to kill me too.
Yes.
Which was a bit strange because it was like 14 hours away by car. So the police called me and gave me a bodyguard. So I lived with a Turkish bodyguard for 1 year.
Yeah.
It was in 2007.
We went to the court of the murder, and they gave testimony. How do you say?
Testimony.
Yeah, to the judge. And we heard from them. They said, Necati Aydın, my brother-in-law, before he died, of course, with a knife, they
stabbed him.
And they said to him, if you came back to Islam and say this this word.
Islamic confession.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You can be free. And he said, no, Jesus is my father. Jesus is my savior. And so is God. To the Lord.
Mm.
It was so good testimony from the killer for my sister to hear that. She said, oh, praise the Lord, loud in the court.
Because the judge kind of gave them opportunity and asked him, didn't they curse you or did they talk badly against you?
Yeah.
And the murderer said, no, they just said this and this.
So they actually told the truth.
Told the truth on this. Yeah.
Yes. And the other brother, too, as the German man, he prayed for them. Lord, please forgive them. The killer, they told that. And the others cried, Jesus, Jesus, you are my savior. It is so fantastic testimony to hear from killer what the brother said, how they stand for Jesus. Yeah.
That is a hard comfort for you as a family, but it is absolutely consistent with the gospel and with the book of Acts. That when faced with the ultimate sacrifice, the Spirit of God empowers us to do things that seem impossible.
Yes.
And I imagine that's affected the way you've preached in the years since and the way you pastor your congregations. The last question I would ask you, friends, is what would we expect to see if we were to come worship with you on a Sunday? The people that you pastor now that have gone through these kind of persecutions and have chosen to sacrifice everything for Jesus, what will we experience being with you?
Yeah, I tend to be very realistic. You will not see heroes. unfortunately, not each of the believers who is coming is really willing to sacrifice everything, because in daily life, it's not always about dying, but sacrificing your cigarettes or stuff like this is even maybe difficult. But as you said, when you read certain passages from the Bible, you have a much deeper understanding than you have it in a German congregation. Not only about persecution, about other things too. And I think when we sing together, most of them do it from all their heart.
Yes.
Because they know we went through some type of suffering. So it's, yeah, they cannot say...
They affected them. They see as this example.
When people come in our house and we have the picture of our brother-in-law and they ask who is this, and we have opportunity to tell the story.
I am not scared, really, to be killed in Turkey. Mm-hmm. I am ready to die for Jesus. But I want to see revival, really, in Turkey.
Yeah, that's what you ask. Is there a revival? Not yet, really. But, of course, each person who comes to Christ is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the background in Turkey for Muslims, how difficult it is to become Christian, each of them is a miracle. But after these three brothers died... Sometimes we hear persecution causes revival, but it's not automatic. It's a challenge. And so some people even left the church out of fear, but others became more serious. And I just know Jesus promised when the corn, the wheat is falling to the ground and is dying, then it will give a lot of fruit. So I'm convinced that the life of Nejati and the two other brothers will bear a lot of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot count it until now.
We've heard that in other parts of the world where the word of God has gone forth and the seed was planted, maybe 100 years go by before God says, now's the time. Mm-hmm. So I pray it's not that long for Turkey, and that your faithful witness and your congregation will stay strong and will continue to flourish.
It was important for inter-church relationships. We have a good friend who is an Armenian priest, mm-hmm. and he told me that sometimes people in his church are against Protestants.
Mm.
But he said when they got the news about the three men dying, then one of those who was always strongly against Protestants came in and said, brothers, those are martyrs.
Mm.
We have to honor them.
Mm.
And sometimes these old churches have a deep understanding about martyrdom.
Spilled blood doesn't just bring others outside to Christ, it bring many people on the inside.
Yes.
To Christ together at the communion table.
And we tried our little church to prepare them for the suffering for Jesus. We have to, I think every church have to be ready for persecution and for suffering for Jesus. Jesus, how do you say, vadet meknede?
Promising.
He not promising only good life in the world. We try to tell the believers, look, our country, or how do you say, our home is in heaven.
Right.
Yeah, our nationality is there.
Right.
And that way we have to prepare for persecution, for God, for Jesus, to meet him. Yeah.
Sometimes we think Jesus suffered so that we do not have to suffer.
Right.
But in fact, the Bible says Jesus suffered so that we will suffer with him.
Mm.
But of course, with the final goal that all suffering will come to an end. That's clear, but not in this time.
Your story has been very inspiring to me. So Wolfgang, Jeanette, thank you for sharing the truth of the church in Turkey. We need to be praying more that God will honor your prayers, too. If you're praying for revival, God put that in your heart for a reason.
Yes.
I don't think he inspires us to pray for no reason. He wants us praying for things that are on his heart, too. So I'll remind our listeners to be lifting up the believers in Turkey, all 6,000 and growing of them, and that you may become a mighty force. Many other countries have come into that place where God has made them a mission-sending country.
Yes.
I would love to see Turkey become that too.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.